And welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day
420.
How are we all doing? Gosh, I've had a busy day, haven't I, Mike? It's not over yet. Oh, let me refresh the chat and see who won. Oh, Jonathan, congratulations. Boom, and you were there. Well done. And we have Dee. Hello, Dee. Dee, it's 1985, and in fact, in 1985, I wasn't even 21. No, I was 18, yes, and I'm bopping like it's 1985. If you weren't with us earlier, you will have no clue what that's referring to, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Hello, Sarah. And who else have we got? Hello, Kim. Oh, Kim liked the session this morning. Good, glad you found it useful. Sneaky little blighters graphics, aren't they? Sneaky little blighters. Repair the denial bubble. I'm not in a denial bubble. That's my reality. It's everything else that's wrong. Oh, and that's so true. Do you know, I did this thing for Brooklands where we had 60 years since the circle was formed. So I said to Mike, oh, what we'll do is we'll do a music show, 60 minutes of music for every year from 61. So I started off and I thought, let's do the easy one. So I'm like, give me the 80s. Come to mummy. So I did the 80s. I was having an absolute blast. Then I started working backwards. So I thought 79, not that bad. 78, I remember that. 77, I can remember that. 76. Yeah, I'm all right. 75. Yep, there was some ABBA stuff. 74, ABBA won the Eurovision Song Contest. Hit 73 and it was like, no recollection, who are these people? and I had to get all the way back from 73 to 61.
I shouldn't be here, should I?
No, you shouldn't.
No, but I am.
You are?
I am.
You're doing that in two places at once thing again,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, no, I recorded it earlier.
Yeah, well, so am I. Yeah. I'm actually finishing off a session on the course at the moment.
I'm like that with cup finals. My first cup final was 75.
West Ham, wasn't it?
West Ham and Fulham.
Yep. I knew that.
About as far back as I can remember.
No, I don't
apart
go back
apart from
any
63
further.
When United won it.
Well, obviously, and you weren't even born, but never mind. You remember it. That was the year Grandad went through the chair.
That was 48.
Was it 48?
When they beat Blackpool.
Grandad got that excited, he started jumping up and down on his chair, and he went clean through it. Grand never forgave him.
Yeah, what was I like with that cupboard?
Anyway, we're going backwards, and yet, but what then happened was, I got to 1989, and I had to start working forwards. And I thought, oh yeah, I remember 1990. Don't have much recollection of 91 or 92. I had my finals. And then 93, yeah, did a bit of an issue there. And I started working forwards. Once I'd got to like 1996, I'm like, who are these people again? And the noughties, not a clue. Not a clue. It was like, weren't they on, what was that thing that was on? Sam Cowell.
X Factor.
Were they on the X Factor at all? It was terrible. And I had to get up to the year 2000. Well, I'm looking at the year 2000 and it's like, what I did notice over the course of it was, I'm bringing up songs that were released in 2000. And next to them, I'm like, oh, I know that one. A James Blunt one, I know that one. And I'm looking across and it says explicit, explicit, explicit. I swear of the top 100 songs in 2020, about 80% were explicit. And I can hardly put that in a show for a Catholic radio station, can I? So they had to be abandoned. But I had no clue who some of them were. But I got there in the end. They were
actually
all done.
Talking about Catholic radio stations, I was thinking about something.
Go on.
Well, we have the Venn diagram.
Oh, we do.
Right, the Venn diagram refers to the music. But it could also refer to the people, because we originally had Catinians and MacBytes.
Yep.
And they came together.
Yep.
Yeah. So some of you guys coming to 196 by request, don't think we've had anybody from Catinians joining us in. Well, actually, we have Stuart.
Oh, Stuart did, yeah.
Stuart used to come to Marooned. But yeah, when Kim was talking about being a counsellor in a Jewish camp last night, it reminded me, and I couldn't really talk about it in by request, but it reminded me of an argument that went on, because when we used to go to summer camp, it was 2 weeks, and there was a rabbi on site, and one year it was our rabbi from our synagogue, so I knew him very, very well, and he got into a right ding dong scrap with this 13-year-old kid who basically told him to toss off. Now, toss off could mean different things in different parts of the world.
Oh, indeed it could.
And even different parts of the UK. And this kid was saying, well, maybe, because this kid was from London, maybe a London toss off is different to a Manchester toss off.
Indeed, it could well be. Leave it alone, Mike. There'll only be an Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
No, don't look there. Don't look there.
So what I'm saying is, we can talk about that kind of thing.
We can.
On Marooned.
Yes.
Because it goes like with lady pipes.
It goes with lady pipes.
But it's not really.
Which are referred to as LPs.
LPs, yes.
I bet Kath's thinking, oh, an LP collection. Oh, we're bad, aren't we?
We can't really talk about that kind of thing.
No, they wouldn't understand kayaks and things.
No.
Oh, and you know, so I played this song a while back. I thought this song was hysterical. It was one of the Lancashire Hot Pot songs. Kath was less than impressed with it, so I didn't have never played that one again. But yes, it was the trio of Joe's singing was the CDs I was trying to rip. Oh, what a nightmare. Oh, are you off again?
Anyway,
she was very
congrats
vocal
to Sarah.
What's happening?
Sarah has passed with flying colours and she's a qualified chair yoga teacher.
Oh, well done, well done. Oh, that's fantastic. Hang on.
Well done, Sarah.
Do we not have something for that? We definitely need something for that. What have we got? No, not a drum roll. No, we need something else. Let's see what we've got.
Congratulations.
No, I've got a lot that are like dun, dun, dun. Oh, I know. This is what we do when we celebrate. So, congratulations. That's fantastic news. Excellent. Well done. Yes, the Joe CDs are now all ripped. So I have something like 23 tracks from Joe. They were amazing, weren't they? He's such a good singer. As Mike said, the first time we heard him sing was this Italian night. And there's another guy called Bob. Now, Bob can sing. This must be understood. But Bob would drown out everybody else. He's very loud, is Bob. Anyway, I hadn't heard Joe sing, and they were on our table, weren't they?
Yeah.
And Joe stood up to sing, and I'm thinking, oh, is this going to turn into another Bob thing where everybody starts moaning? But no, Joe's fantastic. So, yeah, it was good to hear those songs. I hadn't heard him sing those ones before. But all good, all good. I got them ripped in the end, and that was all fine. Oh, it would have been a nightmare if I hadn't, wouldn't it? How many sessions did I have yesterday?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm
lost
dizzy.
Lost count.
Yeah, I've lost count as well. Let's go back to week view. Right. Yesterday they were late-ish, weren't they? Three I had yesterday. I think it was 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You're wondering how I did that. Yeah, so am I. Two sets of headphones. But today, today's been chaotic. They started at 12. So I've had a 12... And then there was a 2. No, I tell a lie, there wasn't a 2. There was a 4, which was in the middle of my other session. So there was a 12 and a 4. And then there was a 6, there's an 8, a 10 and a midnight. And in the middle of all that, there's book club. So looking at my calendar for today, I'm not moving from here at all. Now, tomorrow, that's just as bad. Because I've got the one at midnight that's going to take us on till about 1:30 in the morning. And then I've got a 12, a 2, a 6. A 12, a 2, a 4, a 6 and an 8. And another midnight. That's a busy day, isn't it?
We'll pass each other like ships.
Yep, in the night. We've got to be done.
So you got to 12, did you say?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Right. I know I can't go to bed early because I've got 12 at midnight as well. So you have to catch like half an hour's nap between sessions. Oh, Kim thinks Kath was pleased with Joe's treat. I think she was. We played it early because Kath always stays till late. So that's why we try and organise the trios so people can get to the bed at their usual hour. So, but I thought Joe goes to bed earlier, so we'll put the trio on early. To find out that Joe didn't hear it, Joe was doing something else. But at least Kath got it early. And everyone else could hear Joe's wonderful tones again. So yes, it all went well. How's the nosebleed situation? One yesterday. Now, when did that happen yesterday? I think it was... Was it in By Request? I think it was, towards the beginning of By Request. Anyway, so far today, fingers crossed. Fine. Because the ship doesn't get stuck in the Suez Canal. Do you know why I actually went off and researched the Suez Canal when that happened? Because I remember my mum talking about it, that there was real bother when it came to actually building the thing. So I was fascinated then. Then I got haired off on 3 million other little things. Sarah's having a little dance around the room. So well deserved, Sarah. Well deserved. That's fantastic. Oh, you were really nervous. No need to be nervous. You're fabulous. Just remember that. Just keep telling yourself you're fabulous.
You've seen this? Well, you probably haven't.
No, I probably haven't, mate.
A driver arrested in dramatic scenes outside the Trafford Centre today had performed a 3-point turn on the M60.
OMG.
Police and members of the public were caught on camera wrestling a man in an orange high-vis trousers and grey shirt to the floor at the Bridgewater Circle roundabout. Officers also used their taser to restrain him.
Crying out loud. Isn't the Bridgewater Circle where What's It used to be? Ted. Don't elaborate on that, Ted.
No, it's there.
Ted the Fish
Shop. It's right outside the Trafford Centre, near that BP garage. I'm
trying to think where the BP garage is. Oh, I know where you mean. Yeah, at the side.
Yeah.
Do you know, it could have been a terrorist attack, that.
Yeah.
Where the exhaust fell off the car.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember it well.
Where the exhaust fell off the car.
My goodness, this exhaust was brand new. And we're just minding our own set at the lights. When he came to move, there was this thud. What was that?
There you go.
And when he came to move, it couldn't move at all.
There you go, half a dozen coppers. It was about 1 o'clock today.
This is why you don't go to the Trafford Centre at any point, but particularly on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Why don't you post the link in or the pickies and then everyone can see them?
There you go.
That might make them the week at MacBuy's headquarters. This is literally a mile away from us. No, 2 miles. Oh, 1.5 across country, but 2 miles away. It's a mile to the church and a mile further on is the Trafford Centre. Do you remember really early on in After Hours? I think we said, didn't we, you know, living here, it's never dull. Never dull. When somebody had decided they were going to rob the co-op. Now, robbing the co-op, you know, fine. Go in, take what you want, call it done. Oh, no. No. These guys decided to do it overnight and rip out the cash point machine. So there was a van and a truck and chains. And when you saw the picture of what was left, they'd ripped most of the wall out with it. We thought, that's fine, it's Timperley, don't worry about it. You know, it's a mile the other way. And then they did the one on the road that our road is off. So there was Nisa, if you remember. We were on our way to Mass on Sunday morning, bleary-eyed, half asleep. And I said, what's happened to the Nisa? So obviously Mike's driving, so he said, just a minute, slowed down, he looked. The side wall had been ripped off. Again, they've taken the cash point. So they don't bother actually trying to, like, do it on site. No, they just take the entire machine with them. But that one, if he's in a high-vis jacket, that does sound a bit on the dodgy side. Mm. And the Trafford Centre is where they do all these dry runs for if there is a terrorist attack. Don't you remember? They got in trouble last time.
Yeah.
They took the play acting a bit too far. It was all set up. Like, I think it was like midnight or 1 o'clock, because it has to be that late because there's a cinema on site. So the cinema had to close as well. So everything was closed at this point. And whoever was supposed to be the terrorist came out and got a little bit carried away by their role and started shouting Ali Akbar. And then it was like, but that's racist. So then there was a Spanish Inquisition then. Into the fact of maybe you shouldn't have said those things. You couldn't make it up. Let's just say it like that. You could not make it up. Oh, living here, never a dull moment. Right, let's have a look what's going on.
Anthony's in.
Hello, Anthony. Hello, Tracy. When are you going to break the law? It's always a good idea to have high-vis orange trousers on. That is a good point. Well, at least he was easy to see, wasn't he? You can see him in the photos. We've got some weirdos here, we do. We seem to be surrounded by them.
Renee's trying to understand what a three-point turn is.
Oh, that's interesting. It's in your test here, in your driving test. It's where you pull up, in our case, on the left-hand side, but if you're on the other side, on the right-hand side. And then you have three manoeuvres where you pull forward, pull back, and then pull forward again. And what you're doing is turning the car around. So in the UK, if you say someone's trying to do a three-point turn, what you mean is they're heading up a road in one direction and they've stopped and they're going to turn round and go back the other way. But the manoeuvre is called a three-point turn. And never let it be said that marooned is not education.
And once you've passed your test, you're not careful and you just go into somebody's drive and turn round.
Do you know what I did when I was learning?
We'll call it a U-ey.
Oh, yes. Another thing they say is a U-ey. But to be honest, a U-turn is slightly different, isn't it? That's not 3 points. That's just you're going to swing round and turn completely round. When I was learning, my driving instructor was very precise with his three-point turn business. He said that, you know, more people fail on the three-point turn than anything else. So he had me practice and practice and practice. And if you remember, I was only learning to drive for 6 weeks. The first week I was in absolute agony because I'd been driving for like 10 hours and my muscles were not used to that. I was using different muscles. So that happened again, you know, when I was ill that time with that kidney problem. And I hadn't driven for 8 weeks and I got in the car and I could barely turn the wheel. As weak as a kitten I was. But when I was learning and we were doing this three-point turn, I must have got blasé in his mind. So I pulled up to do the three-point turn and I put it in reverse. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, sorry." He said, "No, if you think you can do it backwards, do it backwards." And he made me do this three-point turn backwards till I mastered it backwards. There was no manoeuvre I couldn't do with a car, trust me. Which is important. I remember we went to Manchester, you know, the Metropolitan University, which used to be the Polytechnic. And this girl had only just passed her test. And I think she was driving her dad's car. And she only had one job, get us in the car and then get the car to the car park. But when we got there, this car park was like a postage stamp. It was minute. And there was no way she could navigate this car in. Despite the fact she passed a test, there was no way she had the skill or experience to navigate this car in. And he's like, where are we going to put it then? This was the only place to put the car. I had to put it in the end. It wasn't even my car. Luckily, my insurance apparently covered me. But my dad had taken me out every weekend doing what he called figure eights. Lucky me. Which was where you had to manoeuvre, again, you had to manoeuvre the wheel and then do a figure of eight with the car. And you had to get the figure of eight as tight as you could. So in essence, you're just kind of going round yourself for an hour. But, it sure came in handy when you did need to actually drive. London's a tough place to drive. London is a difficult place to drive. Everybody is completely insane. And you know you've mastered your London driving if you can beat a cab. If you can beat a black cab in any manoeuvre whatsoever, you've got it. And I remember as clear as day, the day I beat a black cab and I'm like, yes. Oh, when we took my dad down there, different ball game. He couldn't cope. And he was a HGV driver and he couldn't cope. He couldn't cope with the speed of it, the dodgy manoeuvres that went on. There was so much. And he just couldn't cope with it, bless him. He didn't enjoy it one little bit at all. Oh, Anthony's had that with the co-op in the village more than once, a few times. It's scary, that. Oh, we're lucky our co-op locally, which is next door to the library, doesn't have a cash point. You can get cash back inside and it's got an Amazon locker. But luckily, it doesn't have that on the outside. Tesco do, which is next door to the pub that they had the scrap with when the ear got bitten off. They have one and Nisa have one. But luckily it only happened the once. And they did have that bricked up rather quick. They moved the cash point inside as well, which kind of makes a mockery of having a cash point, because the cash point's supposed to be available 24/7. But it's in, if it's in store, obviously you can only get it when they're open, which I guess they had to do it. They had to do it, couldn't do anything else. Oh, dear. Oh, Anthony, that's good. A 3-point turn on Wikipedia. Never thought of Wikipedia for that. What have we got from Kim? Let me have a look at that. This session that should have finished at 7 still rumbling on, which is most unlike the guy, to be honest. Oh, yeah, now that looks quite complicated, doesn't it? But it's easier than it looks. Except when you try and do it backwards. I couldn't believe I'd done that. He was very, very clever, my driving instructor, he really was. I remember we turned up at the station, the testing station, and he was like an expectant father, because you book a driving lesson and then you book another lesson. So you book a double lesson and you kind of have like half an hour beforehand. And then you've got your test, which will be about 45 minutes, but there's admin and paperwork to do. And then when you drive back to the testing station, they will tell you if you've passed or failed. But all the while you're doing your test, they're putting ticks in boxes or crosses in boxes on a clipboard. It's a nerve-wracking experience, I'll tell you. And I couldn't tell from the driving instructor whether he thought it was going to pass or fail. And then when we came back to the station, the testing guy said, can you pull up on the left, please? So I went to pull up on the left. It did all my mirror signal manoeuvre, because that was another tip from the driving instructor, that you think the test is over at that point, but it's not. If they say pull over on the left and you just scoot in and you don't do your mirror signal manoeuvre, they can fail you on that. So I did the mirror signal manoeuvre bit. And as I went to pull in, what I couldn't see until I pulled in was it was an alleyway that you shouldn't block. So I said to him, do you mind if I move? I don't want to block the alleyway. And he said, oh, it's fine, not a problem. You know, it's not like in use for that. And I thought, is he trying to trick me? And then he said, congratulations, you've passed. And I thought, no, he's not trying to trick me, that's fine. Oh, there was a party that day, I can assure you. There was a big party. That was because I could then go to the concert on my own. And when I say on my own, I did take my mum. Well, actually, she was supposed to be riding shotgun. But the pair of us ended up in the bar all night. So and I remember she rang Dad and he said, like, you know, how's it been going? And she said, oh, very quiet. I'm looking at her like, Mum, we partied the night away in the bar with the bands last night. Never mind. Oh, it was a good night. Definitely worth passing my test for. Turn on the street. Ah, is it a 3-point turn in the States? Is this a UK thing only? I did not know that. But yeah, turn on the street is what it is. It's just the neatest, cleanest way to turn the car around on the street. But the way it's taught here is you have the first manoeuvre and your driving instructor will say, you know, like all on the left, all on the left, all on the left. And then you've got to back up and then all on the right, all on the right. And I think it just, I don't know why people find that difficult. I didn't find that difficult, but people do. And it's like the big thing that they will fail you on. If they don't think that you're fit to drive, but they can't actually put their finger on it. So maybe you're incredibly timid or something, but you didn't actually technically do anything wrong. Then they'll fail you. And what they do is they say care and consideration. There wasn't enough care and consideration to the road users, which is a bit off. Another one was insufficient use of mirrors. But you don't want to make it blindingly obvious that you're looking at the mirror. You don't want it to look like Mr. Magoo. Look at me, I'm squinting at the mirror. You try and want to make it subtle, as it's just part of how you drive. But going into a test is a nightmare. And what people used to do here was, there were different testing centres. So there's one in the local town, which is Sale, but there's also one in Stretford and Chorlton and Altrincham, all the little towns around you. And people would go to the one that was the easiest. And I just thought, well, I'll just go to Sale because that's where I live. Turned out that was the most difficult. They got the highest failure rate. This of course, was after I'd booked it. But never mind. It all worked out all right. D likes how where the ear got bitten off is merely a way to identify where Tesco's is. It's not that far, put it like that. The thing was, where the ear was bitten off, which was actually called Samuel Brooks, we used to go there. When Mike was doing his RCIA, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation in Adults, so it's basically how you become a Catholic, we went on a Wednesday night, and that was the lesson. And when I say we, yes, I went as well. That was the deal when we talked to the priest about it. Oh, somebody's ringing Mike. And his phone is up here. He, however, is not up here. Shall I see who that is? Oh, I wonder who it is. Hello. Oh, I know who that was. But unless Mike's answered it on his watch downstairs, it was Mike's mum, that. I was just about to say hello to the mother-in-law. Shall I ping Mike and let him know? Oh, there she is again. Hang on. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, mother-in-law. Okay, I will get Mike to sort that out. I think he's outside with the dog, so bear with me 1 second. And if you guys could bear with me live online as well, I'll be back in 1 second. In the middle of a live show. But they've all said hello to you now. Mike!
Yeah?
Your mother has a problem with the bridge thing. But she said hello to everybody online. And you might need to charge that. Oh, Mike's being very naughty. He's let his phone go down to like 2%. And now his mum needs him. Oh, great fun. Yes, it is a support call. The bridge system's not working. Oh, I love this, guys. Phoning in on the radio station. Why not? Why not? Dee said she's terrible at driving. You don't want to rack up the number of points you make with a turn. You know, my friend was never good at that. The one thing she couldn't do, she could not, for shame's sake, park, even in an empty car park. Could not get the car between the lines, unfortunately. Oh, Sarah failed the first time. In the States. Wow. Junction with traffic lights. You thought you'd go straight across, but meant you turn and you failed. Easily done. Honestly, I look now and I think I'd hate to be learning now. There's just a million things on the road. You've got, it's not just like looking at the traffic lights. You're looking at the traffic lights. You've got standard road signs. You've got temporary road signs. You've got diversions. There's that much street furniture. You can't even imagine where you're going and what you're up to. It is shocking now. Anyway, how is she? Have you sorted her?
It sorted itself.
Oh, did it just go away?
Yes. So she rang me?
She rang you. So we heard your phone ring, you see.
Oh.
So I said, I wonder who that is. Shall I answer it? And by the time we decided, yes, I should probably go and answer it. I picked it up and I swiped it and I said, hello, but it had cut out. So then I said, oh, well, it was Mike's mum. She'll probably ring back. So I puts it down and then she rings again. But you know how when you say hello, hello, mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't stop for breath while she tells you what the problem is.
Yes.
Well, obviously, we were all sat here listening to what the problem was. So it was a good job it wasn't a lady issue or something. Because it was dealt with live on air.
Oh, right.
Let that be a lesson about taking your phone with you. I didn't know if you would answer it on your watch.
It didn't ring on my watch.
Oh, have you broken it? Mike's broken no connectivity
notifications.
With his watch.
Oh, this watch is useless.
Oh, do we need a new one? Did you notice how he snuck that in there? Oh, I'm not allowed to say snuck. Sneaked. Did you notice how he sneaked that in there? Oh, nicely done, Mike. But yes, she was surprised we were online. She was fine. She was fine. Oh, Kim gets support calls too. It's not just us then. Yes, it was. It was a privacy error. Which, if you think about it, it's quite funny, isn't it? It was to do with this bridge thing that she plays a lot, doesn't she?
Yeah.
The one where she gets picked up a lot, or people try. Do you know, you can't go anywhere, can you? You're just not safe anywhere. Anyway, it solved itself. It wouldn't let her in because it said there was a privacy error. But as soon as Mike was on the line with her, did you know that happens a lot? As
it
soon
does.
As Mike gets on the line, she says, oh, it's fixed itself. Fixed itself. Oh, but you told her it was okay.
Yeah.
There you go, see? I knew you jumped down my throat. I knew it. That's just what we say here. What can I say? Never mind. At least I've remembered, eh? Oh. Sarah did an emergency stop early as a frog was crossing the road. The instructor wasn't impressed, but I still passed. That's criminal. What did he want you to do? Run it over? You know, when you're not on a test, you're much calmer and rational. And, you know, you can say to yourself, I will do A or I will do B. When you're on your test, you're like a coiled spring. So if you're taking a decision to stop for the frog, go with it. Just go with it. Don't let anybody else make you feel bad about that. There was a guy up here. It was a girl that was at school with me, and she was on a test. I think she'd done a test before and she'd failed. So she was like a coiled spring. So they're driving along and everything goes wrong. You know, if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. He said, like, emergency stop, and it took her like 3 miles. Everything went wrong because she was so nervous. Anyway, he'd already put fail on the form before they were back at the testing station. She had failed and she knew it. She could see it. So at that point, she kind of relaxed, thinking, well, never mind, I failed it anyway. So they're on the way back, and honestly, everything had gone wrong. He said, do an emergency stop, and when she tried to do it, it kind of jumped and she virtually cut the car out. But then when she managed to do this stop thing, he wasn't happy anyway. So it had all gone wrong. So they're on the way back to the station and she'd failed. He's filling the fail certificate in and not taking a blind bit of notice, which if you think about it, that's wrong because she's not passed her test. So he is the person in charge of the vehicle, ultimately, with the dual control things, wasn't taking a blind bit of notice. So she's on her way back to the station, and they weren't that far away from the testing station, when all of a sudden, this guy in front of them, on a push bike, I think he swerved to avoid a cat and ended up falling off the bike in front of her. Well, the chances of her doing an emergency stop were slim to non-existent, as had been ascertained. But because it was real, and she was relaxed because she wasn't in a test situation, she slammed all on, perfect emergency stop, turned the car off, got outside, got to him, made sure he was all right, got him back on his bike and stuff. She put the emergency hazards on. She did everything right. So when she gets back in, she says, I'm sorry about that to this testing guy, because in the emergency stop, because he wasn't taking a blind bit of notice, his clipboard had gone one way and his head had nearly hit the windscreen. But she was really blasé. She was saying, like, whatever, I've failed anyway, I don't care. He sat there and said, well, let's get back to the station. And she was sort of, I don't care, I don't care. Gets back to the station and there's this fail certificate in front of him. And he tears it up and he puts a pass one together. And she went, pardon. And he said, clearly you were just nervous. He said, when it actually mattered, you did it. Congratulations, you passed. So you just need to have confidence. You don't actually need to be right. You need to have confidence. Oh, that was a good one, that.
Right, I'm going downstairs. I'll take my phone with me.
Just in case she rings back. Do let her know in the morning. I wasn't being funny, John. I cut her off.
Right.
Live show, you know. But then it wasn't her fault. You left your phone behind. See how that got to be Mike's fault? Oh, I'm very clever. I'm very clever with that. Right, let's pop that in there. I've got stuff moving around all over the place, but never mind. Right, here's a snook. Oh, let me have a look at that. Got the link. Tidied all my browser tabs up last night as well, so now I've got a neat and tidy browser. Unbelievable. I think I'm missing something off the end there. I think I am. Oh, hang on, no, it's all of that, isn't it? I thought there was a space in there, but clearly not. Let's try it again. Yay! Oh, right, okay, never seen one of those before. That is one big fish, isn't it? My uncle was a fisherman. It never really appealed to me. Although my dad did buy me a fishing rod because he had one and he used to fish off the end of the pier when we were on holiday and I wanted one. But then when I caught a fish, I didn't particularly want it. Typical. Oh. Right. Sarah says it was the second attempt. First one you failed. As you were so focused on a route that you didn't want to do, you ended up in a different town. The instructor's pen slammed down on the clipboard, arms crossed. Do you know, I swear they do it just to wind you up. I honestly do. I think I was very lucky with mine. Oh, there was a friend, another friend, and they failed before they even got in the car. I didn't think that was possible, but apparently it is. You know, well, over here, what they do is, I mean, it's a bit hit and miss. You walk out of the test station with the tester and you're walking to a car, and they'll stop you and they'll ask you to read a number plate on one of the cars that's just lying around. And it has to be like 25 metres away. So the idea is that you're not blind, that you can actually read a number plate, that your sight isn't that impaired that you couldn't read that number plate. Obviously, you can wear glasses if you're a glasses wearer. What some people were doing, or trying to do, was memorise them on the way in case they were that nervous they couldn't see them. But yeah, one of them got it totally wrong and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm not prepared to take you out on the test. You need to see an optician." Oh, it's such a thing, that. And you know, when you think, most people taking a driving test are quite young, aren't they? And it must be a heck of a stress. I wasn't that bothered, to be honest. I was bothered that I passed, but I didn't get wound up like a coiled spring to any degree, because I figured there's no point. You know, if you fail, you fail, you're going to fail. Just do your best and see where it goes. But when I got back, the reason that there was an extra half hour at the end was I didn't know what the extra half hour was for, but it was with the driving instructor. And what he wanted me to do was drive him round the test circuit that I'd just taken. You know, where did they take you? And there was one road, and it was the narrowest road in Sale, and that was to do the 3-point turn. And the other one was, we've probably mentioned this before, Brooklands is an area of Sale, hence Brooklands 196. It's on the other side of the road, the east side of Sale. And it's a hill. It's a 4-point hill. It runs over the canal, a bridge. It's a proper road thing, this. That the canal runs underneath it, the railway track runs underneath it. So you've got these 4 points, and it's a heck of a hill. It's very steep. So there's 4 points on it where they can do the hill start. And they would just keep taking you round until the lights were against you, and then you had to stop, and then you had to do a hill start. So he said, "Right, now take me through where you went." And there he is drawing it on the map. So what he would do the following weeks was, other people that he was teaching to drive, he would take them around the test route that they took me on. And he had about 10 of these test routes. And he said, "This is a new one, this is a new one." So there he is with his A to Z drawing it. Oh, hello, Simon. How are you doing? Tracy took a driving test in Spain when she was 9 months pregnant. Failed the first attempt because it snagged the windscreen wipers she didn't want as she went to indicate. Oh, that's mean, that. Do you know I do that in my car now? And Mike's. I'm better in my own. But when I'm in Mike's, it's the opposite side. So I'm forever turning the windscreen wipers on when I'm trying to indicate, because it's the opposite side to my car.
Yeah, and I do that in your car.
And Mike does that in my car. Joe, you know, stuff should be in one place, shouldn't
it? Yeah, it's consistent.
Yeah, definitely. A consistent interface is what we want. I think they should have just let you past. Oh, Tracy, the second time was 2 weeks later. I was 9.5 months pregnant. Just after your birthday. He said, "I wonder if we'll have a nice birthday present." They passed you. Yet they must have been concerned that you would refuse point blank to give birth until you'd passed. When I started reading that, I'm wondering, oh, good grief, did your waters break? No. Wonder if they'd let you pass then. That could have been a situation where, you know, you've failed, but now you need to get yourself to hospital, quick, smart, and you do it fine and they let you pass. Oh, that'd work. No, at least I didn't have that to worry about. Wow. Wow. That must have been tough, that. Kim learned what a sarnie was last night on Keeping Up Appearances. Oh, indeed, sandwich. But isn't sarnie a southern term? It's a butty in Manchester, B-U-T-T-Y.
Oh, there was a thing on the evening news site last night about Manc expressions.
Oh, go on. And what did we have?
Wouldn't be a sarnie. Find it. No, it wasn't about sarnies. It was just about Manchester expressions. I can't find it.
Simon, that sounds tricky. From a Japanese to an English motorbike, the gears are on a foot lever and used to be in the opposite directions for up and down gears. No! No! Butty and Sarnie, you had to read all about it. When I was a kid, it was a butty. Or a barm cake. Which could be a barm, a bap, an oven bottom. There's a million names for those. But Sarnie, the first time I heard that was when we moved to that hellhole of a village. It was a brand new estate, so everybody was moving in new. And there was a couple moved in next door but one to us. And they'd come from London, Norwich way, down that way. I think they lived kind of between London and Cambridge. And she said, "You're coming in for a sarnie." And I thought, I don't know what a sarnie is. And Mum said, "A sarnie." And she said, "Yeah, sandwich." I went, "Oh, you mean a butty." That was the first time I ever heard it. But I think it's much more widespread now, isn't it, Mike?
There it is, 32 slang words and phrases you'll only understand if you're from Greater Manchester.
Right, put that link in and then I can have a look at it as well and we can compare. Sarah uses sarnie, except for when you're talking about chip butties, because chip butties are chip butties, aren't they?
Dibble.
A dibble?
Yeah.
A dibble's a Liverpool phrase, surely?
No.
No?
Hanging.
Oh, hanging. Yeah, if something's hanging.
Hanging.
Oh, let's have a look at this.
Dead. We had a dead good night. Dead good, dead hard quiz.
Oh, yeah, the dead good, dead hard quiz for grown-ups.
Yeah. Piffy on a rock bun.
Oh, yeah, Piffy on a rock bun's a very local one.
Bobbins.
Oh, do you know I know all of these?
Snide, mooch. There's loads I don't know.
I'm looking at that one and I don't see that one.
Neither.
Pow fagged, very tired. Never
Scriking,
heard of that one.
Senior ass.
Oh, scriking's a good one. That's what, you know, when I was a child, it was stop your scriking. And what it means is, you know, stop crying, you're being marred.
Nesh.
Like Piffy on a rock bun is a good one. That usually means like I'm sat here waiting like Piffy on a rock bun, which means I'm waiting for something, but I'm being ignored. You know, I'm not getting what I need. Bobbins is a good one. All of these are very much from local radio.
Yeah.
I think is where I picked up a lot of them from. What's some of the others? Get it fettled. I thought that was Yorkshire. Fettling.
Yeah, I did.
I think that's a Yorkshire one. give your head a wobble. This sounds like my gran, some of them. Don't mither me. That was my gran. Was one of gran's, that. I've never actually heard
the
phrase.
Tony.
Hello, Tony. I've never actually heard somebody use this phrase, but I can understand where it's from. Newtons, as in meaning teeth.
Yeah, Newton Heath.
But we don't really have rhyming slang up here, do we? So that one's a bit
off. No, we'll leave that to Tony.
Oh, lugs is one I had as a kid. Comb your hair, I don't want you to get lugs in it. It means knots in your hair. Classic. Oh, what others have we got? Oh, yes, to geg in. To geg in on, to interrupt something. I've never heard of chorve, though. Stop chorving your sister. That sounds wrong on every level.
It does.
It does.
We're talking about the equivalent of Cockney rhyming slang, but for Manx, Tony.
The link's in there. Have you got the link in there, Matt? There's the link, in case you missed it.
Newton is teeth, because there's a place in Manchester. It's actually United's original name, because that's where the club was formed, called Newton Heath, which rhymes with teeth.
But we don't really have much in the way of rhyming slang up here for anything else.
Don't.
So I don't know why it would be Newtons, but there you go. Kim as a dentist now knows that teeth in Manchester are referred to as Newtons.
I didn't know they were called Newtons.
That's just the kind of information you need, Kim, for your next presentation. Here's something you don't know about teeth. Oh, no, I don't know all of these, not all of them. Peggit is the one that I know, but I've not heard for years.
Chronic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You come on quick, Peggit, meaning run.
Have you heard of Spocky?
Nope.
Chewing gum?
Nope. Chuddy.
Chuddy.
Chuddy was what we used to call it. Chewing gum was chuddy. Oh, tell me it's not just Manchester. Tell me there's some more.
Chuddy, yeah, chuddy.
Oh, dear. Mooch doesn't sound northern. I think mooch is used throughout the UK now. I wouldn't have said that was a particular northernism. But there are some that are. I mean, a jackbit for food. Let's stop for some jackbit.
Never heard of it.
No, I've never heard of that one. I've not heard of... I've heard of blether, but not blethered.
No, blethering on.
Blethering on, but not with an ED on the end.
No.
No. So some of them...
Blethered sounds like blathered.
Oh, that would be one from here, trust me. You do hear some of these, and you just don't even think about it. You just instinctively know what it means. So you don't think, I wonder if that's a Manchesterism. But yet some of those, spot on accurate, some less so. But there are some there. Surely, see your arse, is the same anywhere. That just means you have literally, you're cranky. You are annoyed.
Cranky,
in fact, can I just
pants
say,
the Samoid.
Yeah, cranky pants the Samoid. Yeah. See your arse equals bad words were said.
Yes. Good words were said.
Or good words were said. Could we say number three? What's number three? Go on, let me find it. I would have thought that was pow fagged, but I could be wrong. I've never heard of that one.
I've never heard of that.
Pow fagged. Dibble I've heard from, obviously. I love the what's the script? I've never heard that. I've never heard anybody actually say that. But the dibble, that's the kind of thing you hear at the match, isn't
yeah.
it? You know, hang on, watch it, dibble around the corner, that kind of thing. I've not heard of pow fagged. I've heard of fagged. In fact, up here you tend to say I'm fagged out, meaning I'm tired. But not pow fagged. I don't know where the pow came from on that. It's fagged. But some of the others are really accurate, including hanging, which is hanging, you know, with a H, without the H. So it becomes hanging, as in angling, only without the angle in it. Angin.
I had a kebab and it was hanging.
Yes, I remember you having one. Well, I remember the tale of you having one. And it didn't end well, did it, Mike?
No,
some of these, but not others. I'm interested with number seven, the fact that they've actually put in the word dead. And the word dead actually kind of, like it says, it's a prefix to something for added emphasis. So something's dead good.
Dead good, dead hard quiz.
The dead good, dead hard quiz for grown-ups. You know, it's dead good, it's dead this, it's dead that. And I've never thought, I've not actually heard anybody else use that.
No.
That's a real northernism, that. And my mum and dad would use that. But then they came from more central Manchester. Mm. It's a shame Johnny isn't here with these. See how many Johnny knows. Because really, he's a Leeds boy, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's just been in Manchester a long time. We let him in and we let him stay. But Bobbins is a good one. I think Bobbins actually came. Can we find the etymology of this? Because I'm pretty sure Bobbins came from Frank Sidebottom. Let's see if we can.
Lancashire slang, crap, rubbish, something worthless or nonsensical.
Yeah, but where, is there a history of where it came from? Because I thought it came from Frank Sidebottom. No, apparently not. Apparently...
Derived from Lancashire cotton mills.
The cotton mills. But when you take it back further, it comes back from French. Bobine, although you probably don't pronounce it like that. A small instrument in sewing. I guess it just means like small, doesn't it?
Mm.
Similar to that, anyway. Oh, loving that. Tracy knew dead good Coronation Street education. She knew that one. They are actually pretty good putting things in there that are accurate. I remember I read about EastEnders, that when they set up EastEnders, to get the names right, like, Pauline Fowler, they went round the cemeteries and did, like, basic genealogy on it, which was good to get it accurate. Kim's noticed Danny leaves out the when he speaks. What can happen is the might be there, but it's shortened to a T, which they do in Yorkshire. So I'm trying to think now. Are you coming in for ice cream? And believe it or not, the T is in there, but it's shortened so much, it just becomes the first letter of the rest of what the sentence is. So it actually... difficult trying to say it, but for the ice cream would become fert. So F-O-T, ice cream. Are you coming in for ice cream? So it's a contraction of for and the. So it might be that. Listen on half speed, Kim, and see if you can pick it up. It might be there, but not in the full form of the. Exactly, Anthony, as in shut the door. Only it's shut door. And you've actually got two T's on the word shut. Aren't we sloppy? No wonder anybody else can learn English. It's so difficult. English is such a difficult language. I admire people who can speak multiple languages. On my course, I got put in a room with two people and both of them spoke four languages. And one said, you know, like, you're talking about yourself and what you're doing. One said, I'm a polyglot. And I thought, well, so am I if we include VBA and CSS. But if we don't, then I'm not. Don't let me loose with other languages. Not unless I can make me hand signals and then I'm fine. I think, Simon, what we need to do right, for tomorrow, we'll charge Simon with finding some of the Bristol and Gloucestershire ones. And we'll all follow along and see what we can understand on that one. That is a good idea. It's a great idea. Have you seen my hammer? He's been missing for days. He's my favourite one. We need some of these, Simon. Bring them on for tomorrow. I, however, have got... How many sessions have I got left today? I sound like I've had 20 coffees, don't I? I actually haven't. Right, I've got three more sessions plus book club. So that's going to be very interesting in how I'm actually going to manage that, isn't it? But I will. So we'll be going out in of here in about 3 minutes. Give me enough time to grab a drink. How many bottles of water have I had today? Probably about six. We made the mistake. Well, we thought it was a good idea at the time, didn't we? Mm. That we would have a full English breakfast on a Sunday at lunchtime, which is fine until you're about 20 minutes into a session at 3 o'clock and your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth. You can't possibly speak. You may have noticed I was taking some drinks as I was going along. That was why. But the only alternative is have something I'm not particularly bothered about. And then we've got to find time for dinner later and we just don't have any time for dinner. It's going to be a hectic week, but it's going to be fun for the benefit of it as well, as it always is fun. What's a Gansy? I have no idea. Do you guys use Gansy? No, I've never heard of Gansy.
A heavy woolen jumper.
Oh, no.
According to Urban Dictionary.
I never trust Urban Dictionary. It could be something dodgy. You'll be onto lady pipes within 2 seconds, I swear. Night, Anthony. A jumper in Yorkshire. No. We need some Yorkshireisms for tomorrow. And we'll charge Simon with finding some local to him. And then you can run a test on us, Simon, and see what we know and what we don't. And I reckon there's going to be a lot that we don't know. But I think Yorkshire would be funny. We could do with some from Anthony. Yorkshire, I just think they're fabulous in Yorkshire, the words that they have and the way that it's pronounced. I just love it. Love a Yorkshire accent. Ah, and I'm not even going to try pronouncing that D, but it's the Irish word for jumper. So we all come back to the same things, don't we? Amazing. I am busy at the moment, Kim, I am, but it's all good fun. And it makes me think, well, I'm sat here, I'm taking notes. And, you know, normally I would scribble it down and think I'll type that up later. But I don't have later. I have no time to type things up later. So it's forcing me to use one system and stick with it. And what I'm trying this time with it is Rome. And I won't say it's easy, it's not. But I know that if I do it in Rome, I'm going to find it. If I do it in Notion, I've actually got to go to the notes. I've actually got to know where they are to find them. Rome is a totally different kettle of fish, which I'll explain when we come on to the smart note-taking thing. Oh, busy, busy, busy. But we will be back with you tomorrow. It's pronounced the same. Excellent. Right. And in Devon, they talk about bays and maids. Nope. Boys and girls. No, not heard that one either. I am looking forward to tomorrow. Find some local words and give us a test tomorrow. Oh, end of another week. And the start of another week in lockdown. fingers crossed all of our stuff is here tomorrow and we've got no extra ears bitten off to have to describe where that was found. Fingers crossed. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.